All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. I'm Scott from Koenig. That's Nick from Koenig.
Hey, guys.
You remember us. We did this again. We did this from last week.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's see. So we got some cool, exciting stuff to talk about. I think the first thing before we get into our topic for today will be that we have been talking about a wheel giveaway for quite a while.
Yes, we
and
have.
We have finally decided on what we would like to do. And we're going to announce that on next week's podcast.
Yes.
So if you want to find out how it's going to work, make sure you tune in to next week's podcast. That is the deal. We will give you all the instructions and details and all that stuff. In fact, that's the entire topic of next Wednesday's podcast.
Yeah. No, next, I won't tell them what it is, but next week is a pretty special podcast, I think.
So. Right. Yeah, so we're gonna celebrate that special podcast.
By doing a wheel giveaway.
Exactly. So this is your chance. This is for all the people that say, when are you going to have a wheel giveaway? When is it going to be? When
are we going to
be?
Send me free wheels.
And we've been
sponsor
saying,
me.
Right. We've been like saying that for a while. We're working on one. We finally had the idea that this was the right timing, so we are going to do it right now. So next week, you tune in, and we're going to give you all the details about what you need to do, how you should enter,
right,
who's eligible, and why we're celebrating with a wheel giveaway.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So you wanted to jump into today's
topic? Let's jump into it. By the way, if you don't mind, before we get going, make sure you like and subscribe.
Yes.
And the important thing about liking and subscribing is make sure you hit that notification bell so that next Wednesday you're reminded to actually go ahead and listen to how you could win a set of wheels.
Yep.
Okay.
So what's today's topic, Scott?
I don't know. You know exactly what it is, so go ahead. Lead into it. Let's go.
I forgot exactly what it was. I know we were talking about sponsorship. We do a lot of stuff on sponsorship all the time, so that's why it's kind of getting jumbled up. And plus, like, we spoke about other ideas. But what is it? How many likes you need in order, or how many followers do you need in order to get a sponsorship?
So I think that the question comes up quite a bit. People say things to the effect of how many followers do I need? How many subscribers do I need to be eligible for a sponsorship?
Mm-hmm.
It's a topic that's not super crystal clear. I think that people think that sponsorship has this very set in stone set of requirements. And I think that for some companies in some industries, that may be true. But here in this
industry, in this company,
I don't believe that that's applicable, and we'll go into why in a moment. But
right.
You know, when it comes down to sponsorship, we've talked about this before. You know, we've done our best to make sure that a lot of the content that we put up on this channel is strictly informational. We don't get too much when it has to do with Koenig specific things. We don't beat you over the head with product most of the time. This is really just supposed to be one of the channels that you can go to grab some factual wheel and tire related information, grab some car information about people that, you know, that we associate with in our circle.
Right.
And not feel pressured for anything else. And so
yeah, it's not like we're like, oh, like buy our wheels every
right.
single like
Yep.
Like we've never done that for a podcast.
Not really. And for the most
anything,
part
really.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't. And for the most part, when it comes down to the information we put here, they can be applied to wheels in general. Doesn't matter what brand. But, you know, one of the things we started a few years ago, and it seems to, not a few years ago, that we've done a few times, is we've talked a little bit more in depth and in detail about sponsorship.
Right.
It seems to be one of the things that people enjoy the most when we peel back the curtain and try to give you the straightforward deal about, you know, who's eligible, why they're eligible, what are our thought processes, what kind of things do you need to have.
Right. And, yeah, people send us DMs all the time with, things that they feel meet the expectations of certain companies. So I think if you're looking for a sponsorship, this is really one of those like beneficial things to watch or listen to, depending on how you're hearing us. But yeah. You know, like I've seen messages like, "Oh, I've got like 10,000 followers. Can you give me a set of wheels?" Or you know, things like that.
Yeah. And we, you know, we've talked about, and we may do this, but we've talked about doing a longer actual very outlined series on sponsorship that should work with you for any sponsorships, not just our company and not Wheels specifically.
Right.
So if you're interested in that and you think that you'd like to have kind of almost like a playbook or kind of almost like an outline of what kind of things you do in sponsorship, and we'll break it up into categories and then make specific series videos off of that. Comment below. Let us know if that's something that you're into, you would find a value. And also tell us what things specifically do you question the most? You're not really sure about, and you know, what kind of things would you look for, like specifically that, you know, what should you be doing or how should you be applying or how to do it? Like what parts right. mystify you the most?
Yeah. And, you know, we've already done a whole bunch of stuff on sponsorship. We've done a bunch of podcasts already. We have one video out on how to apply for a sponsorship or things you need when applying for a sponsorship or before applying.
Right. Like I think five things you need to.
Yeah. That's like the very first thing. You would need. So I definitely recommend checking that out. And maybe that'll be like what we build off of, like we got there and then like continue on.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like going right back into the thing that you just brought up is one of the questions that we get the most is, you know, how many followers, how many likes, how many subscribers? So when we break this down, let's go beyond the obvious question, right? The Which question is, that they're asking is not how many of, you know, where they want to know a physical number.
Right.
And I think, and it's my belief, that for the majority of the time, the number is less relevant than a few other items. Okay. So those other items are value, content, influence, which we're not going to call influence. We're actually going to call awareness. And I think if you break those things out, the number of followers and subscribers you have becomes less and less relevant. I'll explain. Because I'm either going to put you to sleep or...
No, I'm just... Yeah. No sleep last night.
I understand.
Well, what do you mean by awareness? do you mean like the type of audience that
so
they have,
when people refer to influencers, or when they say, "Are you an influencer?" What they're talking about is, do you have
a substantial social media following?
Is a hard thing, but do you have some sort of way of creating brand awareness for us in exchange for product? Right.
Gotcha.
And so it really becomes very. Not fixate on the number, but drill down to the number of people that you connect with. What does that mean, right? What is the depth of the conversation that you're having, not the width, right? The depth means, like, how engaged, how much engagement do you get, how much interaction do you get? You know, and every company and every company that you're going to be applying to is going to have a different amount of depth that will be special to them.
Right. Okay. So it's funny you actually mentioned the part of engagement. So for a while, and I don't know because they're always changing this, but the Instagram algorithm, in order to actually get more awareness or for them to feel like your post is doing good and for the analytics to say that your post is doing better than like some of your previous posts, even if it doesn't have as much likes or not as much people saw it, more people engaged with it, meaning they either shared it with somebody else to show them or they commented or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, that's actually a really valid point. Engagement is a really big thing because, like, you could get a certain number of likes. You could get a certain number of followers. But, like, if people are just, like, they see something like, oh, okay, cool, double tap, keep scrolling. Mm-hmm. When you get people actually engaging and asking questions and like they're interested, like, oh, what's right. that?
They're That's spending when, more time and put right.
In yeah, they're spending more time invested in whatever, you know, yeah. that person posted. Right. So.
Yeah, no, it's true. So that's definitely an important piece. And I think that one of the things that people glaze over, and you talk about algorithms, but like if you watch some of the evolution, and again, I'm oversimplifying this, right? But if you watch some of the evolution of these algorithms, especially when we talk about Instagram, you know, it's like first the Instagram thing comes out and it's driven off of likes. And no, you know, it's chronological, but then it's likes, you know, the amount of likes you get. And then it was, you know, how many comments are you getting? And then it was a mix of both. And then it was a mix of, you know, how many comments do you get in relation to time of the post, right? And so when you really scale what these things are trying to do, I mean, and a lot of companies will say, oh, the algorithm's screwing us. But what's trying that, what I think what they're trying to do here is, what they're trying to do here is come up with a way of really figuring out what things will make this post be more important to you than this post.
Right.
And I think the duration of time to comment from when somebody sees it is an interesting one, but if you break it down, what you're basically saying is you see it and right away you're compelled to comment on it. And so that clearly is going to have the most amount of engagement out of a lot of the posts to you, and because of that, posts like this should resonate and be put up more than a post like this.
Right.
Now, do we know that this doesn't always work in that fashion? Absolutely. But I guess the point of circling around to this whole brand awareness thing is, with the amount of followers and subscribers and whatever you may do, how much awareness do you create with them? And awareness goes further than you know, just the number of subs. You may have a YouTube channel that has 10,000 subs.
Right.
But always gets, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments, because while they may not have a ton of subs, the amount of people that they bring to their view count of a video, and the amount of comments that they have in the video, because the content they put out is so good, it's well worth looking at that channel and investing in them.
Right.
Right? So awareness, so let's talk influence, awareness. Let's take that and let's say, okay, that has to do with how much causation and effect you can have on the people you surround.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that right there in itself almost takes away a solid number that you can put and quantify it with, like, has to be above 100,000, has to be this.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, I was going to say this before, but, you know, people kind of just want that easy number, or you know, this is my opinion. I don't know if this is actually fact, but I think it is. So I feel like people just want that number, so that way they can be like, oh, like I reached that number. On like, once they reach that threshold, they're like, okay, I reached the threshold, like you should sponsor me now.
Right.
You know, yeah. As opposed to getting the engagement and actually putting time, because when you just look at numbers, it can take away from the work. And like, if it's like, all right, cool, they have these numbers, but you know, if their work is sucking, no one likes it, no one watches it, no one's engaging with it, it's like, why give somebody something or start a partnership with somebody if no one's gonna consume your content anyway? And
but you know, there's more than consumption, there's also resonation, right? Like,
okay,
is there content, like, there's a lot of people that will have a substantial amount of view count or whatever it may be, but then there's some people that have this effect on people that, because, all right, I'll give you an example. We've had channels that we've kind of started to work with in some capacity, and let's say we worked with them and they had 30,000 subs, but then we work with somebody that has 1 million. The amount of attention and in overall engagement we get from the 30,000 person sub channel may be way better than the one we get from the 1 million subscriber channel. And it's not about eyeballs, and sometimes it becomes about
community.
Maybe that, well, yeah, maybe that fits better. Maybe the content's better. Maybe you know, that person, you know, just resonates with his group better. Maybe he has less people, but they're really, you know, a tight-knit community. So yeah. There's just a lot of factors when it comes down to numbers, and I think it's very difficult to use that. And then flipping over to Instagram, I think it's tough to say, you know, how many likes on a post, or first of all, that's garbage. Don't ever use that. Don't use likes on a post. I'm telling you right now. That's just pro tip. Like, don't do that. But when it comes down to, like, you know, subscribers and stuff like that, just keep in mind, followers, especially when it comes to the Instagram followers, companies know that you can buy them.
Oh, 100%.
So your engagement, you know, it's come full circle. First it was follower number that people were super worried about, how much do I have. Then it was comments and engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's substance. Now companies are actually, I believe, getting smarter, not about the vanity numbers and how quickly they can make a decision, but they're actually consuming your content.
Right.
So the more thought out your content is, how well of a job you're doing in developing content that fits people, where they can go through and really read the comments and see that there's a back and forth interaction. And you know who I think does this? One of the best, like, car people in our world, and we don't sponsor her at all, so this isn't even a us praising a Koenig person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colette Davis. If you don't know who Colette Davis is, you need to go check her out. She's awesome. You should go check her out too. But what I love about Colette is that she has a really substantial following. She is on YouTube and Instagram, and she was a professional driver. She's done stunt work. I mean, but what's interesting about her is, if you look, and going back for a while, even now as big as she almost comments on every single sort of Instagram comment that somebody puts up.
Yeah.
And first off, I respect that, because she really cares about the people she's talking to. Second off, somebody like that is going to have a way larger effect on their community because they're able to access her.
So,
you know,
let me, if we don't divert too far away from what we were originally talking about, if we can just touch on that real quick. So what do you mean by comment? Like, does she just
comments.
Well, just like thanks for
sometimes,
every comment
sometimes,
or like full-on conversations? Because I feel like I've seen certain companies will just leave a comment like, thanks, appreciate it, or like, thanks for your support, or like things like that, and won't actually engage with people. And like, I don't have a huge following on Instagram, but I, you know, when people comment, I try and actually start like some type of conversation or like keep it going, mostly just because like in fact, if somebody comments, I'm like, I'm interested in what else they have to hear and like continue on. But
so like I know the bigger you get and the more engagement you have, the more difficult it is to
keep up.
And it's the same thing with us. I mean, we're not huge, but you know, we have like around 95,000 on Instagram, and we get some comments, and so we'll go through, and you may get, like, especially if you make a comment, like, you'll get a like. You may get a like from us. You may get a pound from us. You may get the peace sign. You may get the, like, yeah, I mean, emoji work is present, right? And I think that's the same with her.
Yeah.
But if there's something there of substance that she sees, because, again, you can't see every comment. You can't see everything. But if something there she sees that she can reply with a comment on, I see that she does.
Right.
And I think that there's something very thoughtful about when you work with people or when you engage with people.
And take the time to actually like speak with them.
Because there's a lot of repetition in those people coming back, because they begin to become part of your own community.
Yeah.
And that's the same way we feel. We try to interact with as many people as possible. What's really thrown us into a little pinch there sometimes is that we answered every comment for years. And then what's happened is now we've had so many DMs and messages and emails that we're literally struggling to get through all of those, and then the comments, and then they're coming from, you know, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, and so sometimes you just get lost.
Yeah.
But we do our best. So, but I want to, before we get, because I don't want to get too long into this.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna we could break this stuff down. But so I talked about awareness, which we called influence. Let's talk about value. There's something that you need to be able to bring, and it goes. And when we start talking about likes and likes and subscribing, value is related to the content that you are putting up.
How so?
So value, in a sense, is one. What kind of things are you returning to the company? Okay. So, like, in other words, especially in today's social world, companies are always in a struggle to be able to come up with content and media. Something we do all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe your following also includes that not only are you bringing awareness and whatever to your community, but maybe them being able to use your different posts, or you're giving them some images of different things that you're doing, will allow them to now be able to work your relationship even further into their media plans. And so now you're giving them some value about supplying them with content that they can access as they need.
Right.
Also, the type of content that you're putting up is really important. You know, if you've seen some guys that have gone, like racers are a good example, and just an example. It could be anything that you're into, but they go on as far as doing something along the lines of you know, not just taking pictures of the car, but like, you know, they'll do little lives or you know, where they talk to people, or they'll go ahead and they'll film certain things, or they'll do tech tips, or they'll write a longer format copy to kind of say what the picture's about and share information. And the person that, again, not a Koenig-sponsored person, but the person that I think does this the best in our segment is Stefan Papadakis from Papadakis Racing.
Yeah.
He puts up the most interesting pictures and then kind of asks, like, why, and then he interacts with, the best he can.
But in what sense? Like, what is he doing that's...
So he'll put up a picture,
I guess, so different. Like, does he go in-depth with the details on, like, what's on the car? Like, oh, it's got this part from this company, or...
No, see, that's what I mean. Or, like, that's the difference. Like, so that would be the obvious thing that you would do. What he'll do is, like, a lot of times, like, as they're building the car, he may, like, take a picture of, like, this and be like, do you know what's going on here? And then people will start commenting, and then he'll come in later and explain, like you could see in pictures, one and two, we're taking this tube, but in two and three, we're actually using this trick method of being able to figure out exactly how we should notch our pipe and angle. You know what I mean? Like, he's giving tips for building, and he's such a genius. He's such he's just so smart, and he's so experienced and just knows so much that the fact that he's giving that information just out there in the atmosphere for free, it makes him bring so much value. So if you were a sponsor looking to get on to a program that Steph was tied into, it just brings that much more weight to it, right?
Yeah.
So his content is not just there. It's also thoughtful, and it's bringing value.
Right.
Okay? So now we went through awareness. We went through value. What was the last one we said? I said the third one. Now I'm drawing a blank.
I am too.
Let's see. Followers. Content.
I don't remember. I mean, I think one thing really important to note is, like, I feel like there might be some type of limit, or maybe there won't be, or maybe you can correct me on this. You know, having only a couple hundred followers, for example, like, I think there should be kind of a minimum of audience.
The reason I don't agree, and I'll tell you why.
Kind of gonna correct myself.
Okay.
I was gonna say, that's not to say that just because your Instagram only has a couple hundred that, like, I don't know, let's say you're creating content that you're not actually engaging with enough people or getting enough engagement on your content.
Yeah. I guess there's, you know, remember that this is not, there should not be a list. There should not be this minimum, like, expectation list. But, you know, when it comes down to looking for people, I think one of the things that you need to be conscious of is that for us, it may not be, like, having 200 subscribers or 200 followers, and when we start to look at the type of content you're producing, or for us, it may be a miss. It's not what we're going for. We have a lot of other people that, you know, because remember, sponsorship, you are compared to everybody applying for sponsorship. So you have to be, you know, in the top of that, or bring something real unique that we could use to be, you know, kind of considered for sponsorship. But, you know, to some other company, let's say the 200 people that you have following you are, you know, are super high-end exotic cars.
Right.
Like, let's say you own a McLaren, and the 200 people that follow you are like your friends
your
that
friends
are in exotic clubs.
That have exotic cars.
Right? So now in that exotic car club,
which is those so 200 much more of a niche.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a niche. But maybe now there's a wheel company that comes out that makes one-off wheels for those high-end exotic cars.
Right.
And now maybe
you send
you're
them
the guy.
A sponsorship proposal to them, and they see, like,
they
oh,
see,
okay.
Oh, this dude has 200 people that comment on every single post he does, and they do meets, and he's got the right car, and I can get him a set of wheels and get some images out of it, and this guy is, like, really putting in some stuff, and I see he works on whatever their metrics is, and then all of a sudden your 200 followers become exactly what they're looking for.
Right. And that's another important thing too, like,
so intention is maybe the third one, but that's what I mean.
Maybe. I don't know. What I was going to say is, like, also, and, like, we mentioned this in our sponsorship video also, but I feel like it's important to mention it here too. But just because you apply for a sponsorship but one company doesn't work out doesn't mean it won't work out for another company, because the other company might, you know, you might have what what meets their requirements as opposed to the other company, which is pretty much what we just said.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would caution on two things with this. Again, I'm going to add another pro tip. First thing is, don't take the same proposal, just change the company name on the thing and then send it out to every single company. The first thing you should understand is that you think that we're all competitors and we don't speak to each other, and that is false. Like, for us, we really don't have any enemies. We, you know, when we talk about competitors, it's purely in a market share type of way. We don't have any animosity towards anybody.
Right.
We, for the most part, just try to do our own thing, stay in our lane, and continue to enjoy the fact that we are pretty blessed to have people like you roll with us, right?
Right.
And then the other thing is, when you apply to these other companies, you know, they may speak to each other in some capacity or whatever it may be, and nobody is looking for very little people are looking for sponsorships where they're going to be very short-term. And to see somebody that's bouncing around all over the place, it's not a good look. I think you have far more success by researching the companies you ultimately want
that
to be
in. That you
actually
want to build a relationship with.
Right. Find the relationship. Work the relationship. Maybe it starts out by you buying the wheels at full price, but you want to work with this company. You buy the wheels at full price. You send them free media images and stuff like that, and just try to create a relationship over the first year. Then the second year, they now know who you are, and maybe you say to them, "Hey, look, is there any way I can get a partial sponsorship where I can, you know, essentially, you know, some sort of, you know, partially paid value where I can still continue to do media and do some other things, and you continue to prove yourself and do events and do different things."
Right.
Next thing you know, you do it for a few years, and maybe that company, they ultimately feel that you've earned that relationship.
Absolutely.
And that happens all the time, but it requires you to put the effort in and to consider it in a long-term goal fashion. And the fact is, too many people are looking for what they can get right now. And I would say that there's a strong amount of people that when they take that approach, even if they think it's for the best of their program, themselves, whatever, ultimately at the end of the day, they may end up cutting themselves short, and they'll never even know it. There may be another company that that, you know, they speak to, and when they ask for, when they start talking about them behind closed doors, you may find out that they're like, well, that person didn't really want to hang out with us long. They took the product, they took a hit, they smiled, they told us everything we wanted to hear, and then they bounced.
Right.
Which is fine. It doesn't make you a bad person, but it could easily cut your ends in the end.
Right.
You know?
The same goes with applying. Like, if you apply to all of them and, I don't know, you get signed on or something, like, they can talk and be like, oh, yeah, like, I saw his thing, like, he applied to me, and then, like, somebody else would be like, yeah, he applied to me, too. It's like, oh, wait, he applied to all of us? Like, you know what I mean?
My favorite are two things. One, when you get a proposal and they forget to change the name of the last company they sent it to. Two, when you have multiple brands and they send the same thing to like all three or four or five of your brands.
Right.
So you know that they're going after every company just hoping they get something.
What do they do in those emails? Do they generalize, like, I'd like to work with your company? Or have you ever seen, like, they'll put, like,
Dear Koenig, like, dear.
Dear Koenig.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen both. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, go watch our sponsorship video, how to apply for sponsorship.
And again, you know, listen, you should take this with whatever amount of trust you would like. If you think that, hey, they're wrong, don't listen to us. Do your own thing. But majority of the time, this is accurate. I know I have a lot of marketing friends that are not just in this industry. They're in other industries. And when we talk about the things that they do and stuff like this, and I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how large the program is or how, you know, you think you have it all specced out, you all figured out, you say, oh, well, that's a really big team, or that person's a real big celebrity, or, you know, whatever it may be. And you think that you have it figured out, but, you know, a lot of times it's the same way, just on a different scale.
Right.
You know, a celebrity will be going around, they'll have their agent spraying the guy all over to different companies looking for these big endorsement deals. And, you know, they talk, or they'll have to, whatever it may be. And next thing you know, they're like, listen, that guy's just looking for money. And as soon as he doesn't get his money, he's going to move on. And so that is how a lot of deals work. But, you know, there's this other piece, which is that most of those endorsement deals, especially the reason why you have good agents and different things like that, is because they come with relationships.
Right.
They know that when the agent says, my client's going to do this stuff, that the agent's going to hold them to his word. And of course, there's contractual obligations, but there's got to be more to it sometimes. Sometimes companies are big enough that they just want to pay.
Right.
And get what they want. And other ones, there's another value to it, right?
Yeah.
So,
anyways, so I guess kind of wrapping up the podcast, followers and likes does not necessarily equate to getting approval on a sponsorship.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That was the longest answer that you have ever gotten for a simple question. But I hope that in that whole spiel of things that you guys will have found some value or something that resonates with you that will allow you to make your program or package better, regardless of if it comes here to Koenig or if it goes
anywhere,
to another company.
Yeah, and just do your research on the company you're applying for a sponsorship.
100%.
Try and figure out what it is they're looking for, what mm-hmm. they want, and see mm-hmm. if you meet their requirements. If you don't meet their requirements, try and find a way to meet their requirements by, I don't know, I guess, bettering yourself, I guess. Or, you know,
I would say if you want to be successful and you have the time and you're willing to put the time in, do you. And don't run to look for companies for product right away.
Right.
Show people that you got something going on. You know, as soon as you get to a point where you're now in a situation where people feel that the only reason you're doing these things is because you want to get free things. Sponsorship is not about free things. And so if you treat it about free things, you will get nothing. Right?
Yeah.
All right, we good?
think so.
All right. So listen. So we hope that this was helpful in some capacity. If you learn, if you listen to us ramble or anything like that, make sure you give us a thumbs up, a like, so we know that you were here listening all the way.
Leave comments down below if you have any sponsorship questions.
Yeah.
Go check out our sponsorship stuff.
Yeah, and we're going to make sure that we put together more of these types of things if you find them helpful. So tell your buddies, tell your friends to come here, watch this video, and then comment and throw some stuff up so we know that this is something else that we should expand into.
Right. And come back next week, because next week we're going to be announcing our giveaway. It's a very special podcast. We won't tell you why yet, but come back for that. See it. Anything else?
Yeah. No, I think that's it. Again, as far as the podcast go, we go live on Instagram and Facebook every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. And if you're looking for more information on the podcast, you can head over to koenigwheels.com/podcast, where all your goodness of podcasty things live. But that's pretty much it.
Yep.
We will catch you back here next week. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel on Tuesdays. For our Kone Kickback show, which is a automotive recap, make sure you come back on Fridays for a piece of wheel tech content that we put up. And every Wednesday, we obviously bring you the Wheel Wednesday podcast.
Okay, that's it.
That's
it. No more announcements. We will see you guys next week.
Yeah, I think I'm done. We'll catch you later. Take care.